Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Finance expert Owen McGee is with me here on Lunchtime Live today to talk us through dealing with financial dysmorphia. Owen, you might explain what it is, first of all.
This is, and thanks for having me on, Andrea. And this is for people where people kind of think that they have more money than they have, or they behave like that, or the opposite. They have loads of money, but their behaviour and the psychology around money leads them to behave as if they can't spend a penny and they need to accumulate all their money and they need to not spend anything and really live a frugal life. And it's on both ends of the extreme, and they are the extreme versions of it. Now, I do think we all suffer a little bit with body dysmorphia.
Yeah, sort of identify as a wealthy person, Owen.
Yes, identifying as a wealthy person, but even down to things like Andre, you know, I'm not a big fan of the likes of PCP, where you buy a car that you actually couldn't afford if it wasn't for PCP. Mm. And we do things in our life where even things down to buy now, pay later is a perfect example of how this impacts us all, where if you can't afford it today, you can't afford it, right? But yes, we still do it, and we do. And that's a form of it that people might relate to a bit better, but it can go to extremes. It don't go to a situation where you are spending well beyond your means and you're totally ignoring your bank balances and even your loan balances, and you're not keeping up with your commitments as they fall due, and you're getting deeper and deeper and deeper in a hole. But the difference here for some of these people on the extremes is they get deeper into a hole, but they're totally ignoring it, and they're not addressing the issue. They're ignoring it and they're making it worse every single day.
So it's, all of us, to some extent, probably land somewhere on this spectrum.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great word to use for the spectrum. It's a spectrum from one extreme to the other. Like, I have seen that. Like, you might say, oh, God, isn't that terrible? Accumulating debt. And some people, and I don't want to diminish it in any way, but some people, at least, are getting to enjoy their life. And people do have an attitude, borrow, 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 I could be dead tomorrow type of thing, right? And they're getting to enjoy all the nice things, and that's great. The other end can be absolutely grueling, where you've got plenty of money, you have no reason to worry about money, but yes, you won't spend a penny. And you are depriving yourself of any type of joy and sometimes even necessities because of that fear of running out of money. And that can be debilitating in itself. And it's when you're on the outside looking in, it's easy to kind of look at it. It's easier to look at it and say, ah, yeah, I know which one I'd prefer, right? I'd prefer to be living the lavish life and still not be worried about my debt.
Yeah.
But like, let's face it, this is an illness, and this is something that needs to be addressed. And it probably has manifested itself from something that happened in your youth or during your youth in terms of your interaction with money. Maybe your parents have a serious problem with money, and now you're terrified that you're going to end up in the same position. Or maybe you've seen extreme wealth, and just as you came of age, the wealth was lost.
Well, a lot of our listeners would be familiar with that through the Celtic Tiger and the downturn.
Absolutely.
You know, when people came into money and had great lifestyles, and next thing, the whole lot was gone.
And that's one of the places where you see it a lot, where somebody has a certain lifestyle and they're accustomed to that lifestyle, and they end up in a position where something changes in their life. They fall on bad times for whatever reason that might be, and some life event happens or something changes, and all of a sudden the income is gone, the wealth is gone, and they continue to live the life that they used to be able to live. And that can be really, really damaging, because you've just had a bad financial event, whatever the circumstances might be, and you're still behaving as if you haven't. And it can just make things worse for you by you're digging a hole, as I said a few minutes ago. And it can be really difficult on the person. Like,
yeah.
I wrote about my first book, I wrote about a couple who had a very significant salary. And two salaries coming into the household, and they had a very significant salary, and they lost one of the salaries. They were still taking home somewhere between 20 and 25,000 euros a month. They were on big, big money. But yet, their lifestyle had expanded to fill the income that they used to be used to. And therefore, it was really difficult to restrict that lifestyle again and contract it back down again to what was now their new, very, very, it's hard to get sympathy for these people. But believe me, their struggles were difficult. And I'm not trying to get sympathy. I'm just saying, it's not necessarily a thing got to do with how much wages you're on or how much wealth you have. This can affect people very equally and very severely at every end of the spectrum.
Do you know, it's funny, there's a text here from a listener who says, my father brought me up to save every single penny. I get so anxious if I spend money or even when I go on holidays. I have a massive fear of being broke, even though I earn over 100 grand a year. I love Owen's show, how to be good with money.
Yes, and what I would say about that is that's a real, like, again, bringing it back to all of us suffer a little bit with it. I would often, now I mean very, very regularly, come across people who have, let's try and keep it like, kind of, I have 20,000 euros in savings, but I have 4,000 euros on a credit card, right? And I said, why don't you just clear off the credit card? Like, you're still going to have a decent buffer left off of, oh no, they're my savings, I have to protect them.
Yeah.
And this emotional attachment to the savings, and it's not making any financial sense. Like, the bank in that case is probably making more off the interest, like they are making more off the interest they're charging the credit card than they're giving you the interest on the deposit that you have with the bank. Like, that's exactly how bankers work. They make money by taking your money off you and lending it out to other people. It becomes mad when you're in a position where they're taking your money off you and lending it back to you and charging you more for it than they're giving you for the deposit. So there is that emotional attachment to savings, which can be hugely beneficial in certain circumstances. And I mean certain circumstances. But if other times you're just kind of going, how can you not see the wood for the trees here?
The other element to this, though, and I know from talking to you previously, Owen, about your salt and pepper analogy, but like everybody tries to probably have some little bit of a cushion, or, you know, the rainy day savings. What percentage of your take-home monthly salary should actually be going into that little pot?
Well, it's more got to do with how much should be in your buffer, as I call it. Like, what I would always say is 3 months' pay if you've got maybe a dual-income household with very steady wages, and 6 months' pay if you've got maybe you're a freelancer or a tradesperson or someone who gets big money in and no money for ages, big money in at the end of a job and no money for ages. So that'd be 6 months. But what I would say is that there is strong research there that says even having $500, and I was about to say dollars because the research is dollars, right, was in the US, but $500, or change that to euros, doesn't make a difference, 500 euros can relieve a lot of financial anxiety. And financial anxiety is very real. But even having that much, so that when life happens, it's somewhere to reach to. But the optimum is to get to 3 months, to six, 3 to 6 months, depending on your circumstances and what position you're in. And that's, some people get put off completely and they say, oh, I can't get to that. Mm. I would say 500 is probably, you'll get a huge benefit, but in real life terms, 1,500 euros will really dampen the times you have to reach for the credit card. It'll really turn them down because life has happened. And I mean life, like whatever, like you...
Something breaks, the car, yeah, whatever,
but,
reason, yeah.
Yeah. But also, you decide on Wednesday evening, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go away for the weekend with friends. They're all gone. I wasn't going to go, but I'm going to do it. And I don't want to put it on the credit card. I don't want to have a credit card, so I'm going to reach for the buffer. It's not just bad things. People think buffer is negative. It's not. It's positive and negative.
And just finally, Owen, this listener says, people spend the way their parents spend. We should all be taught financial literacy in school to break this cycle. Would you agree?
They're half right, because we will end up being exactly the same or exactly opposite to our parents when it comes to money. So we'll either say they were great and I want to be exactly like them, or we'll rebel and want to be exactly the opposite, or else we'll have some other experience where they had loads of money and you want to have that too, or they had real problems and it gives you a fear. So it's actually, the person is 50% right. We will be exactly the same or exactly opposite. It's a great one actually for your, if you're in a new relationship, Andrea, and I'm not talking about first date stuff, I'm talking about you're getting involved and you're kind of going along and you say, what's your parents like with money? And watch what they say. We're very bad in this country about talking to each other about
money.
We're delighted to talk about other people's money, even our parents, if they're not sitting in front of us. But watch the description they give of their parents and how they were, or what was money like in your household growing up. And what you'll do is you'll very quickly identify the traits in them. They're either the same or they're the opposite of what they're describing.
Well, that's definitely one to use over the weekend. Owen McGee, financial expert. Owen, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. This listener says, I constantly have to bail my sister out because she spends like a drunken sailor. I earn less than her, but I manage my money much better. It's so frustrating. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.